genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is adapting. Each of my guests will be discussing the importance of adapting to the world around us. My first guest is a journalist and author who tackled the mystery of why, in the past half decade, one-third of the national bee herd, that's about a million colonies, has died each year. We'll look at the role of bees in agriculture and the unsung beekeepers who tend these colonies from her book, The Beekeeper's Lament. My second guest trains young people on how to be great on the job. We'll discuss communications, what to say, how to say it, and the secrets of getting ahead from her book, Great on the Job. My third guest is an economist by trade, but we won't hold that against him. He presents a compelling look at problem solving in the 21st century and concludes that we need to try more different things and fail more often, as he describes in his book, Adapt. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Hannah Nordhaus is an author of The Beekeeper's Lament, How One Man and Half a Billion Bees Help Feed America. The book is a nonfiction portrait of the unusual fourth-generation beekeeper who travels through the West with about 10,000 beehives making honey, pollinating crops, and struggling to keep his bees alive in the middle of a strange and sobering bee die-off. Hannah's writing has appeared in Financial Times, the Los Angeles Times, Outside Magazine, Ski Magazine, High Country News, The Village Voice, and the list goes on and on. Hannah received the Associated Press and the California Newspaper Publishing Association's awards for feature writing and business reporting. She's a historian by trade, lives in Boulder, Colorado with her two children and her husband. Welcome to the show, Hannah. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and thank you for writing The Beekeeper's Lament. A very entertaining book, very easy reading style, writing style that you have. Enjoyed reading it very much. Now, for everyone who eats almonds or fruits or vegetables, what's the role that bees play in modern agriculture?
Well, honeybees are essential to pollinating a lot of plants that can't pollinate themselves or be pollinated on the wind. So, The biggest crop in which honeybees play a role is almonds. There are about 750,000 acres of them in the Central Valley of California, and the pollen is too heavy to travel on the wind, so they need pollinators to do it. And because of the way modern agriculture is now and the way the Central Valley is laid out with all these huge monocrops, there just aren't enough native pollinators to do the job. So beekeepers now have to bring in millions of hives, or I guess 1.5 million hives, each February to pollinate the almonds. And they do the same thing for lots of other crops, like cherries, apples, blueberries, cranberries. It's a list of about 90 different fruits and vegetables.
So bees are absolutely essential to the way in which our food chain operates today. Now, you in your book highlight one beekeeper, John Miller, very interesting guy, fourth-generation beekeeper himself, and he travels around. Just give us a brief description of what John's life is like as a mobile, if you will, itinerant beekeeper.
Yeah, so John grew up in Idaho, but he has spent most of his adult life going back and forth between California and North Dakota, and he spends the winters in California and brings his bees down there in January, and brings them into the almond orchards. The almonds bloom for about 3 weeks in February, so he gets them into the almond orchards, gets them ready for the bloom, and then they do their pollinating, and then he gets them out of there really quickly because then they start spraying all sorts of stuff on the almonds, and you got to get them out of there. And then he brings some of his bees to cherries around Stockton, California, and a bunch of them also up to Washington State to pollinate apples, pink lady apples. And they do that through April. He also has some, keeps some bees. He's based in Newcastle, California, which is, it's east of Sacramento near Auburn. And so he brings some bees to his home base there, and they split up the hives for the, to divide them up to add new queens and try to have more hives for the coming summer. And then starting in May, he begins shipping them up to North Dakota. And he moves up to North Dakota in June and spends the summer there making honey. Because North Dakota is a great place to make honey. There's lots of clover and alfalfa fields there. And they do that until November. Then he ships his bees to Idaho and puts them in potato cellars for a couple of months. And then starts all over again in California. January.
We're talking to Hannah Nordhaus about her book, The Beekeeper's Lament. And Hannah, how did you find John Miller, and in what ways is he representative of all beekeepers?
Well, I first encountered him. I live in Boulder, Colorado, and I also write for some natural foods magazines, and there's one called Delicious Living, which is based here in Boulder, and they asked me to write an article about a new honey-based energy gel that for athletes to use when they run marathons or do races, bike races, that sort of thing. It's called Honey Stinger, and there are four owners, and John Miller is one of the owners, one of the founders of the company. So for the article, I interviewed all four of the owners, and when I got to him, he talked to me for about an hour and a half about Honey Stinger, but also about his life as a migratory beekeeper and how all the bees, how they were really struggling to keep their bees alive. And he had, when I called him, it was February, he was in the almond orchards at the time, and it was just fascinating. So I kept in touch with him and ended up writing an article about him for a magazine called High Country News, and then that turned into a book because I just kept having more to say about him.
Well, and there's a reason that you keep having more to say about him, Hannah, is he's a colorful guy. I mean, just what makes him so colorful, or let me put it a different way. We know what makes him colorful, probably genetics and a combination of stories. But really, why is he so interesting to you? What fascinated you about his colorful lifestyle?
So he's one of about 1,200 big commercial migratory beekeepers in the country. There used to be more of them. There used to be about 5,000 probably about 20 years ago. So he's not the only one who does what he does, but he's incredibly, well, he's first of all very funny and incredibly eloquent in expressing why it's important what he does and why he loves the bees. He's just so passionate about these bees. And I guess what really struck me about him was both his lifestyle and the creatures he tends, but also his tremendous passion for these bees. And it's not a terribly practical thing to do in this modern world to be a beekeeper, but he loves bees so much that he's willing to move around all year round and get stung and have to deal with all the hassles of shipping bees all over the country because he just loves bees. And you don't come across people who are that eloquent and that passionate about something very often in life. I haven't in all the years I've been working as a journalist, so I decided I had to glom on to him, and fortunately he allowed me to do so.
Now, that's great. We're talking to Hannah Nordhaus, who is the author of the book, The Beekeeper's Lament, How One Man and Half a Billion Honeybees Helped to Feed America. And that brings us to the problem that is threatening all the beekeepers across the United States and the reason why we're down to only about 1,200 migratory beekeepers left in the United States, and that is the colony collapse disorder. And it's thought that right now nearly every feral beehive in the United States has disappeared over the past 20 years. So it's really only these beekeepers that are kind of keeping the bees alive. So what is colony collapse disorder, and what are some of its effects, Hannah?
Okay, well, first let me say that collapse disorder is a big problem, but actually this sort of the crisis in honeybee and in beekeeping really came before colony collapse. And starting about 20 years ago, there was an itty-bitty, nasty little parasite was first found in the U.S. It's called the varroa mite. And the varroa mite, it sucks on bee blood or hemolymph, which is what functions as blood for bees, and vectors all sorts of nasty diseases. So So it, all the feral hives, which are not wild because bees aren't native to the North American continent, but they are escape swarms that have gone wild, basically. Most of the feral hives in the country succumbed to this mite over the last 20 years. And then about 5 years ago, suddenly bees started dying in new and even weirder ways from CCD, which is colony collapse disorder. And the bees just flew off and vanished, and there was no signs of the bodies and no evidence of disease. They still had honey. The queen was still in good shape. And this was something that beekeepers hadn't encountered before. So that, in conjunction with the varroa mite, has really just wreaked havoc on beekeeping and made it really hard for these guys to stay in business.
All right. Well, what are some of the causes, or have they identified the causes of colony collapse disorder?
They're working on it. It's unfortunately, it's not as simple answer as we all, especially those of us in journalism, would like. They think it's some conjunction of factors. There's a nasty little nasty fungus called Nosema, which causes bee diarrhea, basically. And it's been around forever, but there's a new variant of it that they think has come from China that has been sweeping through apiaries in recent years. And one thing they found is that that fungus, in conjunction with other things like with other viruses, seems to be strongly correlated with colony collapse. But they also think there might be weather factoring in. There's been a big drought in California until this last year.
Right.
And they think maybe there are some nutritional issues with that. Also, nutrition in terms of, they don't think it's particularly healthy for these bees to be traveling and from crop to crop and eating one type of honey, nectar, and pollen for you know, 2 or 3 weeks and then moving on to the next one. And some people also suspect it's pesticides as well. So there's no easy answer. Nosema seems to be the most strongly correlated factor, but they can't say that that is what it is.
All right, so there's a variety of problems. We're talking to Hannah Nordhaus. And Hannah, some people are blaming professional beekeepers as the cause of the problem. Is there any truth to that allegation?
There is some truth to it. I wouldn't say they're the cause. I would say that they haven't, they haven't made things better for bees, but they also are in some ways what are keeping bees alive in the U.S. because, as I mentioned, all the feral bees, most of the feral bees, there are some small populations that are still intact, but most of them have died off, and beekeepers these commercial beekeepers are keeping lots of bees alive and bringing them to crops, and without them, modern agriculture couldn't function. But because of what they're doing, because they're moving these bees around, bringing them especially to the almond orchards, which have been compared to a giant brothel, it's bees from all over the country, you know, 1.5 million hives, all in this 400-mile swath of the Central Valley, swapping spit, as John Miller, my beekeeper, likes to say. And they come from Florida, they come from Wisconsin, they come from Texas, and they bring all the pathogens and pests that they encountered there, and they give them to the other bees. So this itinerant lifestyle, it's not good for bees, but these bee guys, they know that, and they, you know, it's not by choice, really. If they want to keep bees and they want to keep making honey on the scale that we need as consumers, it's sort of what they have to do. So they're in this terrible catch-22.
Is that what you call the Faustian bargain in your book?
Yeah, it's a Faustian bargain, exactly. I have my chapter about almonds is entitled Faustian Bargains, and it's almonds are what keep beekeepers in business, big beekeepers in business at this point, but it's also what's killing the bees, and nobody's happy with it.
No, it's not an easy solution. We're talking to Hannah Nordhaus, author of the book, The Beekeeper's Lament, a fascinating story about the secret life of bees, if you will. Now, Hannah, I've got to ask you, as sort of a journalist, as well as somebody who's recorded on John Miller and bees in general, in today's industrial farming complex, is the beekeeper really the last small business remaining? And the follow-on question is, will there be a next generation of beekeepers in America?
Well, you know, beekeeping isn't necessarily a small business, like at least beekeeping of the type I write about. So John Miller has 10,000 beehives.
Right.
That's not small
in terms of the numbers, but in terms of the dollars that he generates, it's still characterized by the U.S. Department of Commerce as considered a small business.
Well, I guess by that token, yeah, you could say that these guys are, they are, they're mom and pop guys. You know, I mean, John Miller, this is a family business. He's been doing it. It's fourth generation. He, unfortunately, right now, it doesn't look like his kids are going to take it over, but he plans to hand it off to a trusted employee who has fallen in love with bees and worked for him for many years. And so, yeah, I mean, these guys are a very small and important link, and they don't have the backing of these big agribusinesses the way the people that they work for do. But on the other hand, a lot of the almond farmers they work for aren't huge producers. They are, as a, you know, en masse, as all of them together, it's a big business, but a lot of these are still family businesses that they work with as well. We have a few hundred acres or a couple of thousand here and there.
Gotcha. So it is one of the last vestiges of small business in America. We've been talking to Hannah Nordhaus, author of the book, The Beekeeper's Lament, How One Man and Half a Billion Honeybees Feed America. It is a fascinating book. Hannah, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, or even about beekeeping, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can go to my website, which is hannahnordhaus.com, H-A-N-N-A-H-N-O-R-D-H-A-U-S. So it's not spelled house like we do in English. It's a German name, hannahnordhaus.com. And I've got lots of information on the book and on John Miller. John Miller has a website, too. It's millerhoneyfarms.com. And you can look at the book website on Harper Perennial, which is my publisher.
Ah, that is great. Hannah, it has been fun. You've done some great research. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thanks, Bill. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Take care.